Happy Sunday to you all. Just going to give you all a moment to get into the room and get settled. So happy to have you all here this morning. Clearly, I am not Kelly Joy Richardson. I am Dr. Vicki Johnson. And welcome to our weekly Sunrise Project call. We are happy that you're here and that you're here to find, especially this week, a moment of solace and peace as we share and learn from one another in a safe space that is filled with love. I like to say unconditional love, compassion, and a mutual desire to heal our children, our families. I'm going to add our communities and ourselves. This has been a week. And this prayer has resonated more this week than it has in a long time. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things that I cannot change, the courage to change the things that I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Whew, it's a good place to take a breath right there. Our guest today, I'm so honored to have with us, Karen McCoy is an award-winning international speaker who shares her wisdom with thousands of listeners on being resilient in the face of adversity in life and finding joy on the journey. She shares her struggles after the death of two children and a granddaughter. She counsels other mothers about the personal journey to renewing their joy after losing a child. Upon earning a Bachelor of Science degree in business management with a concentration in leadership, she earned a Master of Arts in Religious Studies. With those formal degrees, she has also earned a doctorate in navigating through the tragic vicissitudes of motherhood, as life is the best graduate school. Known as the resilience strategist, she assists women in discovering their God-given gifts through the tragedies suffered in life, following the loss of a child, and knowing there is still joy, even after the inconsolable pain of death's heartbreak. She also uses art therapy to build a strong relationship by her creative brand called Slapping Paint on Paper. Karen resides in Clayton, Alabama, with her husband, William, and her beautiful Rottweilers, Lauren, Ruth, Boaz, Lily Rose, Brandy, Buster, and Sienna Grace. She's the mother of seven children, two of whom have their earthly home in their parents' hearts, and two bonus children. She loves reading good books and occasionally watching funny movies. She desires to help mothers, again, who have lost children by tragic death, to know there is life after the death of a child and to live those following years as much as is the will of the Almighty by humbling to His purpose and His purpose only. Welcome to the Sunrise Project Sunday Support Call, Karen. We are happy to have you back with us because you were with us back in October of 2024. But we're so happy to have you with us today in recognition of Suicide Awareness and Prevention Month. How are you today?
Good morning. I am great. Great, 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 great. Good morning, everybody.
So happy that you're here. We can hear you clearly. Don't move. Inside joke, y'all. Inside joke. But Karen, how are you doing today?
I'm doing nervous as always when I speak. So to be very transparent, even though I am a speaker, I still have butterflies and all the things. Because I don't show up to think I got all the answers, but I just show up just to show people that I still show up. But I'm doing good. I got my coffee.
Good. I have mine too. Hey, I have some coffee as well. And you are in your space, your sacred sanctuary where you slap paint on paper. And I know we're going to talk about suicide awareness and prevention and the reality of your life and your journey. But I first want to just dive into, slapping paint on paper. What does being in that space do for you? Because we can see some of your creations in the background and all around you. How does that sanctuary that you have created in your home, how does that settle you? What does that do for you? I want to start there.
It brings so if you don't know what peace is in your life, you have to find out what that is. And so walking in here when we moved here 3 years ago was one of the selling points to this house. It was like, oh my goodness, this can be my studio. And so now that I've cultivated it into being what it is, it just gives me peace no matter what's going on outside, literally outside the gates, outside in the world. When I come in here, I get to choose what I want to cut on, if I want to cut on anything. But most of all, it just gives me a place of peace. I'm very peaceful down here. And you have to be invited in this space. Even my grandkids know not to just come down here. They knock on the door and can I come in? It's like, yeah. So we got two or three of them that can come in because they know how to respect it. Because it's, like you said, it's my sanctuary.
I love that answer. And I asked you that question very intentionally as an example to those of us who are on the call as parents, the power of having that sanctuary, that sacred space within your home to help us all deal with, as you called it, the vicissitudes. I love that word. That's a preacher's word, the vicissitudes of life. But specifically as it relates to parenthood and motherhood and fatherhood, I love that you have a sacred space and just want to take a moment to invite other parents on the call to create a sacred space in your home. It might not be for painting or creativity, but just to have a sanctuary, a space that you can go. It could be your closet to go sit, breathe, hide, cry, do all the things. And so I love that you're sitting in that space today as a beautiful example of what's possible. So September is Suicide Prevention and Awareness Month. And I have several personal relationships, you are one of them, where families have experienced loss in their immediate families due to suicide. And so as we get into your journey and your story, I want to invite you to tell our community a bit about your beautiful daughter and your granddaughter before we start into the other questions that we're going to share this morning. But tell us about your daughter and your granddaughter.
Oh, Tanika and Alyssa. Tanika was my daughter. Alyssa, of course, is a granddaughter. And Tanika, I would say, was my lifesaver in life. I got pregnant with Tanika at 14. So knowing what a mother was not what I knew, but I knew the love. I got something. God gave me her because I was looking for love, searching for love. And so when I got her, I said, I got something that nobody can take away from me but God. And so Tanika was, she was light. She was very smart. She was like, we had our, how can you say, mother-daughter thing. It's like we grew up together. So it's like more so we grew up with a kind of sisterly relationship, but some hard times. But she gave me the strength to get through it. And then when she had Alyssa, then of course that was my first granddaughter. And Tanika was just, kind of standoffish about telling us that she was pregnant because she got pregnant in the 12th grade. And I told her, you're not the first to get pregnant. And before you get married and all the things, look at me, your mother, and look at you in the mirror. And you go on. And she excelled. She got a academic scholarship to the University of Florida. She went on, she graduated a year early. So she was very smart,
Yeah.
very outgoing, very creative. And Alyssa was 7. She was a week from, her birthday was just last week. She was a week from turning 8 when she died. And Alyssa died at the hand of her mother. So it's a double fold there. And it's something that took me years to really grab hold to. So, But Tanika was the, I would say the light, one of my lights, because I had two daughters in high school. I was the one that your mama probably didn't want me to hang out with.
But look at you now, right? We just never know where our life's journey is going to take us, even our children. And to your point of probably being the one your mom didn't want, you to hang out with in high school, there's always hope, as I believe and live and stand in. We met not long after your daughter and granddaughter passed away. And in addition to painting, I have to say you are also very powerful with the pen, because we met when I read, I think you wrote an open letter to her.
I did, and you know what, Dr. Vicky? I was cleaning out a box and I ran across that article. I wrote an article for a magazine, and it was a young lady who I think we went to the same church. I'm not sure how we came together, but she asked me to write it, and I had no idea of what I was feeling, but I just know I was feeling something. So when I wrote that kind of gave me a little path to my emotions, maybe. But yeah, I just came across that article the other day. That's so, yes.
It's so powerful. It is so powerful. I still remember it. I think it stopped me, literally. It stopped the scroll, as they say, but it stopped me in my tracks. And I probably read that like three or four times in awe, really, of what may not have felt like strength to you. But for you to be able to articulate clearly your emotion and your feelings and the clarity of thought that you had with that, I think I read it like five times, like just back to back to back. And I think I sent you a message. I don't even remember what I said, but I was just like, oh my gosh, you are so amazing. I didn't, necessarily say how strong you were, because I could feel the palpability of your sorrow, is the word that I'll say. I remember it, but I remember just sending you a message to encourage you and give you a virtual hug, and we've been connected ever since. So just a beautiful, beautiful writing. So Suicide Prevention and Awareness Month is what we are acknowledging today. And as you've shared, your daughter passed away due to suicide, and your granddaughter, at the hands of her mom. So that's like compounded grief and sorrow. Are there any signs that you saw looking back that you maybe think, oh, I should have paid attention to that? Or if there are parents on the phone, what would you say are some signs that we should pay attention to and not ignore or brush off? Can you think of anything like that that you maybe saw with Tanika that it just didn't resonate that she was struggling?
Thinking back, and here, thinking back, 18, it's been 18 years now. So thinking back, it's one of those things that I didn't see what was going on as a major threat to such extreme. Because again, that was our life, was waking up and surviving. A week before, August 17th, Tanika lost a dear friend of hers who was very close to her in college, and he committed suicide. And we were in the car coming back from Jacksonville when she got the news, and she was upset. And when a friend gets news, when your kids get news, it's gonna be sad, right? It's gonna be sad. It's gonna be like, oh, okay, you wish you could take the pain away. But we're talking about it coming from Jacksonville, heading back to Atlanta, because we were living in Atlanta at the time. And she was sad, and she's just she, but she was talking. And I think that's what I really ignored, the fact that she was talking more than she normally talks. Because Tanika, out of all my children, I would say is my quiet. She's very quiet, didn't do a whole lot of talking, but she talked all the way to Atlanta, and I just listened. And then I remember her asking me, questions about, I wonder how his mom feels. And I remember saying, Tanika, I have all seven of my children. I can't even begin to imagine how his mother feels, not knowing in a week that I was going to know what his mother felt like. But she was writing a lot. And the other thing I would tell parents is, it's so hard to say in this day and time, because now kids are a little different. So let me just give you mine. If I could redo that week, I would personally have a conversation, ask questions. Now on the other side of being a counselor, there are questions I would ask. I would maybe seek to say, let's go to counseling. Should we get you some counseling? Should we call our bishop and you talk to him? But because I let her sit, I think more in her own writing, because that's what we did, we journal. And but she never seemed so that she would commit suicide, because she was talking. And I think that's the thing now. I hear her talking so loud. And then she would go, but she was still herself. You take care of Alyssa. So pay attention to the things that your child is normally not doing. Tanika normally was not talking as much. That was, to me, in hindsight, a conversation that, like, we were talking. And so whatever your kid is doing, if your kid is normally a talker and they get quiet, kind of pay attention. And then you have to ask a lot of questions because of the time we're living in now. Kids are committing suicide because they feel like it's the way out. I have a 3-page letter as to why she committed suicide. A lot of parents don't have answers. Now, the thing I don't know is why she took Alyssa, but she left me 3 little sticky notes that kind of tried to explain that. But the 3-page letter I wrote, I painted a picture and I put it in a frame, and it's literally over here in my studio. And that letter is behind that frame. Once the police gave me a copy of it, so I don't have the original, but pay attention to things that your kids aren't normally doing. But I will say this, even that morning getting up, and I was going to work, and I asked her, did she need a car? And she's like, no, I'm just stay home. That was different, because normally she would take me to work and she would do whatever she had to do. So I just felt like she needed some time to herself. And that was that Friday, and everything happened that Friday. So yeah.
Thank you for sharing that and for allowing us to peek inside those moments leading up to in that day. Again, Karen, you are so full of grace, and I know it's been a journey, and you've been able to turn that pain into now passion and purpose to help other moms who are experiencing life after the loss of their children. So thank you for that. I'm really grateful for you opening that up for us. What has been the hardest part of life for you after the suicide of your daughter?
I think the hardest part after her suicide was really grasping the fact that she took Alyssa. Well, let me back it up. It took me really a long time, and I'm gonna say like years, to really grab the fact that my daughter committed suicide. I mean, that just wasn't something as a community that I grew up in that we had to worry about or we dealt with. I've gone to funerals, people died, people shot people, but it wasn't something that I knew right in front of me that it's a possibility that your daughter might commit suicide. In my younger growing up, I had a family member that attempted suicide, and I still didn't understand what that was. So getting over the fact that not only that she made a choice to take her life, to take herself from me, but to take Alyssa from me.
Yeah, have you been able to reconcile that at all?
Oh yeah. Yes. I still get mad. Now, don't get me wrong. It's been 18 years. August the 24th was 18 years. And I had a moment, and sometimes I get moments, because think about it, y'all. If you're angry with somebody and you can't tell them that you're angry with them, all you can do is fuss, kick, and scream and yell at the world, or I can slap all the paint on the paper, but I can't have her in front of me like I'm talking to you guys right now and say, I'm angry with you. And for her to say, well, okay. So what I did was, after 3 years, I finally pulled out her letter and I read the letter. And that gave me a sense of, at the bottom, she put, everything in this life is not about you, and this is not about you. So I like, whoa, okay. But it wasn't. It was her choice. And then the other thing, what took me back after I read the letter, it took me back to when we finally got in the apartment after police and all the things. She had laid out her clothes, she laid out Alyssa's clothes, but her Bible was open. Oh my God, it was Romans. Nothing can separate me from the love of God.
Wow.
And so when I read the letter, and then I went back to what the scripture was, and I was like, oh my gosh, she was even crying out to God. She was talking to God. So God is the giver of life and death. And I remember telling Tanika, if it wasn't meant for the young man to die, no matter what he did, God wouldn't have let him take his life. He would have said no. And so in the process of her doing what she did, she started in one place and had to end it in another place. And I could see her in my anointed imagination. This is what I put in the book of her, because she had already taken Alyssa's life. And I can see her running through the house, because now she had to finish all of what she was going to do. But the first time, the chair broke. And they told me that, she tried once, she tried twice, but the third time, because she had to make it happen, because she had already, taken Alyssa's life. But grabbing all the information over the 3 years it took to really be able to articulate that, I am mad as hell, God, because you gave her permission to die. And it took me some time. I never left God, but it took me some time. We had some conversations that I could not share with y'all right now, but just know that God knows your heart, and He knows. And He never said that you would not have trials and tribulations, but what He did promise you is that, I'm going to be there for you no matter what. So it might be hard, like it's getting hard right now, but He's there.
Yeah, let's take a breath, everybody.
Yeah, let's
Just
breathe a
let's
minute.
take a deep breath. Again, you are such a jewel and a gem, because it's not often that we get to sit in truth like this, and so intimately with families that have experienced this. So again, Karen, with deep gratitude and compassion on behalf of everyone here, I'm sure. We're sending you so much love and grace and strength.
Thank you.
What advice would you give to someone who has suffered and/or experienced this tragedy, who's lost a family member who died by suicide, or, a friend? What would you say to them?
I would tell them to be honest with their emotions, as I am right now. Because if you don't, and I'm speaking from a mother, as a mother, you take on, how can I put this? You take on responsibility for your children. And but I would tell them to be honest with yourself. And when I'm saying that, I'm saying, I took on the blame that my daughter committed what we call murder suicide. I took all of that weight. I took the weight that I chose to have her. And if I didn't have her, she wouldn't be here. We wouldn't be going through this. So I took all of the weight. But be honest with yourself, why, with such hardness, so that you can start in the hard stuff and you can walk it out. Because it did get easier, and I did drop it, and I did. It's not my fault. When, like I said, 3 years later, I read the letter, and it was not, it's not my fault. I birthed her. God gave me her for 24 years and gave me a granddaughter. But I told God, listen, you got my first. You say you want the first. You got my first daughter. You got my first child, you got my first grandchild, and then later on, you got my first son. So you've got all my first, dude. So kind of like, give me a little piece. That's my little running joke there. I had to put it in there so I can get my life together.
Yeah. Be honest with your emotions. That's what I love about the Sunrise Project community, is that we are a safe space here, and we are able to be transparent and vulnerable in this space. How did Tanika's passing and Alyssa's passing, how did it affect your family?
Oh God, it tore my family apart. I don't think we've still recovered. And I have, like I said, there are seven children. Tanika was the first. So Tanika was just like the mother of everybody else down the line. The last three children, the twins, Joshua and Ann, well, the twins and Joshua definitely took it hard, and everybody kind of, my children, they dispersed. Everybody went in their own little, I'm angry, I'm mad. And so they took it out on each other. And being an only child, I didn't understand how to help them. And so therefore, I didn't know what to do at all. And so that, I think, kind of made the family go every different direction. Even so, even me, I retreated to Germany. So it was just like they were with their dad. I went to Germany. I was about this close to a nervous breakdown. I was living with my daughter number two, and I looked around. I was just like, I can't do this. I need to breathe. I couldn't breathe. So me and my mom kind of went our way because she felt like she had lost her child, and she was speaking. So it was terrible. It was terrible. And I think we're just now kind of coming maybe full circle to, and I think that's more because we talk about it more. Like it was suicide. Who wants to talk about it? Nobody wants to talk about it. And as my mother say, I can't believe you get on stage and you talk about this, your business. And I'm like, that's the problem. Nobody wants to talk about life after this tragedy. And my grandma told me, who is still living, who is 98 years old and full of wisdom, she said, listen, if that's what you have to do to live and breathe, then do what you have to do. Because I believe you'll help other people, but it was just, we just don't talk about things. And I say, and that's the problem, Grandma.
So, can you share some steps if you can articulate it, put some words around it? Like, what has your family been doing to come back together in addition to talking about it? What does that look like? You know?
Unfortunately, Vicky, unfortunately, I had to lose another child. We kind of didn't, they didn't kind of come together until we had to come together for another film. And they were all together again. I don't care how many events I tried to put together, I saw them come together for Joshua's funeral, but then they didn't disperse all, only one kind of separated. But what that looks like now is talking about the good things and the good times that these people that are no longer apart, no longer living, we keep their memories alive in our hearts so that we can talk about it. So you have to talk about it so you can cry about it, so you can wipe your tears and then be like, oh, but remember when he did this, or remember when she did that? And then we find ourselves like, oh my God, that's good. So, and me giving them permission to do it, because a lot of them didn't want to talk about it because they thought they made me sad. And so then we would, go up to Breckenridge, hang out and talk and be like, oh, well, Tanika would have liked this. Or we talk about what would Alyssa have been like, looked like, because she was 7 years old when she died. So those are the things that make us cry through it. And I'm seriously saying crying together as a family makes each other vulnerable enough to know that we can give each other a hug, because that's not something I grew up with. And so in turn, I had kids who were, teaching me how to, embrace. And so now we teach each other how to do it. And really be honest that I don't want to talk about it right now. Like, I don't want to talk about it right now. Or be okay, well, what do you want? And be okay with whatever they choose to say. But be open and honest. Honesty is definitely there.
I love that you are sharing what feels like you taking off the weight and the burden of guilt and shame and embarrassment and wanting to hide, right? And not talk. I think it's so powerful, such a powerful demonstration for us in this community, as you said, because we want to fix it for our children. We want to be the answer. And like I've never seen really before or rarely seen before, how you are now able to release, truly release the burden and the weight of, I can't fix it. All I can do is be here, be available, be a light, be honest, be truthful, be transparent, be vulnerable, even when you don't want to talk about it. Like now is not a good time. I think it's such a great example to us that we are not responsible. We are stewards over our children's lives, you know, given to us to give them the best that we can. And then they have to take that and live their lives. And that is what I hear you saying. And it's really just a wonderful thing to the point, you know, you don't have a problem moving. And I just also want to say, in case someone didn't really hear you say, or not sure they heard what you said, but after Tanika and Alyssa, some years later, you also lost your son, Joshua, who passed away. So you buried two children and a granddaughter and still slapping paint on paper, right? Being creative
And
and
you.
being just a safe place for other moms, Karen. So thank you. I tell you this all the time. I'm amazed by you, by your strength. And just thank you for your yes to this purpose. So how are you doing today? I know I asked you earlier, how are you literally today? But with all that you've shared, how are you moving through life now? Like, what does life look like for you now? And how are you helping other families?
So life for me, like you said, you said it, freedom. I'm free from, it's like having chains. I've had chains on me since I feel like I was 14. I've been trying to be a mother since I was 14, and who knows what how to do that at 14 and 16. So I had two children, 14, 16, okay? And now I feel free, not that I'm not a mother. Don't get me wrong. Walk with me here. Don't get me wrong. It's that I'm finally realizing what life is for me, just me, just me, just not even as a wife, not even as a daughter, just what is life to me? And then that way I can show up in a better place, a healed place, a whole place, so that when I do tell other mothers, you have to do the inner work. You really have to do the inner work. And I would always hear people say that. I would hear you say it. And I'd be like, well, I'm good. You know, I'm good. You know, I moved on. I got married. I got a life. But the inner was still there. You know, what's her name that sings the song talking about the bag lady? You're like, yeah, I didn't get that song. But we carry the weight of the world because we're mothers. But remember, y'all, God cut the cord when we literally got birth. We birthed these children. And he cut the cord. He cut the cord for a reason, so that they can go on. And so I'm always going to be their mother, but I needed to know who I was and who I am, because I've never known that. Some people have their children later on in life after they've been through the partying stage and all the things. I never got to do that. And so now I guess you can say I'm being a little rebellious over here on the ranch. I guess that's what I can put it. But I'm enjoying my life right now. Sometimes I get a little guilty when the grandkids want to come, or the kids be like, well, can the kids come? Be like, no, I need to hang out with me. And who doesn't like being with themselves? I'm learning to hang out with me and love me, decide if we want pizza, if we want to go get crabs, whatever we want to do, we go do it.
Ooh, I love it. I love that you have no problem being selfish and hanging out with you and yourself. So you mentioned that you have a book. You put your story in a book. Can you share what are the titles of your books?
So the first book that I wrote after my daughter passed away, which should have been written before she died, we had a conversation. She's like, "Mom, you need to go and write that book." And the book had been written, but it's called "For God I Lay Down My Isaac After Life Slaps the Hell Out of You" on purpose. And the second book is called Beyond My Tears, which was written after my son's death. So both of these books were written after each of these children's death. So Beyond My Tears was written Beyond My Tears after the death of my son. That's that one. And Beyond My Tears, I learned. Okay, and I learned, this is what I learned. I learned after Tanika's death to be honest with myself about how I was feeling. Okay. So that in turns, I got with my elder at my church and I was just like, hey, I gotta do this, which he was my counselor. He's like, well, you need to just go on and journal, journal, journal. So the journal turned into a book. He's just like, you need to go on. Another mother needs to read this. Somebody needs to see this. And so we put it in and it was done. Joshua died in 2019. I think the book came out in 2021. That's just how fast. But it was so therapeutic for me to really be honest with how I was feeling because Joshua's death was very tragic and traumatic. And I didn't want to lose myself in his death like I lost myself in Tanika's death. So I had some ex look, unfortunately, I had some experience with this. And I told myself, we will never go through it that way. Tell yourself, you're going to be honest, Karen. You're going to be honest with how you're feeling. And so writing that second book really helped me grieve better and to know that I wasn't grieving and it was a different situation. So their births were different and their deaths were different.
And where are your books available in case anyone wants to
They're on
read your story?
Amazon. They are on Amazon, but I tell people get them from me. That way I can sign them and send you a piece of artwork in them. So if you just go to KarenMcCoy.com and I'm the real McCoy, McKoy, and KarenMcCoy.com, and you can order it on there, and that comes directly from me. And you'll get my signature and a signature piece of artwork.
Awesome. And just share the titles one more time. This is via your website, KarenMcCoy.com. And if someone could type in the chat the title of the book for us, I would appreciate it. Share the titles again, Karen.
Oh, they were back there. For God, I lay down my Isaac after life slaps the hell out of you on purpose. And the second one is Beyond My Tears after the death of my son.
Thank you. So, last question before I open up the call, and community members may just want to love on you or ask you a question. How do you honor the lives of your children and your granddaughter now?
I'm doing what God has finally called me to do, is to share their lives with you guys, and any stage that I can stand on, any mountain I can stand on to let them know just how great they were in my life and how they were the guiding light that God blessed me with to get me to this place where I am right now. I have a YouTube. I would love for y'all to go over and join me on my YouTube, which is Slapping Paint on Paper. And that way I talk to people over there. I do a Monday and Wednesday kind of podcast on YouTube, just encouraging people in twofold through conversation and through art therapy. And God has just definitely just showed up in my life in a way that I'm just like, all right, dude, I'm sorry I didn't answer you late, way back when. I'm sorry I had to go through the hard places of life. But how many of y'all know sometimes you just got to take some lumps and bumps before you really walk into your purpose? And so,
Love
talk.
it. So on your YouTube, you're literally just talking while you're painting.
Yes, I am. So I have a sh so every month I do a different thing. Last month was talking about unclogging, decluttering the mind so that you can walk into the dream or that purpose that the little you want it to be. And this month we're talking about, oh my goodness, peace, inner joy, silence, being silent, and all the things that we need to do in our life that we don't do because we're scared of. Some people are scared of being in silence. Some people are scared of being silent. Some people are scared of the stillness. But these are the things that I personally, so it's everything that I've gone through in the last 18 years of since my daughter's death that I pulled out my journal and I'm just like, God was just like, Bing, say that. Bing, say that. I'm like, dude, that's private. And God is, I was like, that's my business. And God's like, It ain't your business, Karen. It's my business. And this is a way that I need you to let people know that all that you've been through, you're still serving. You're still here. And as for me and my studio, I'm going to continue to serve the Lord.
Love it. I love it. So before we end today, does anyone, I just thank you, Karen, again. Does anyone have any questions for Karen? You want to unmute? You can come off mute. And if you're on the phone, you can hit star six to unmute. But go ahead and ask your question. I see your hand raised. You can just go ahead and hit unmute and share. Hi,
Good
Asha.
morning. Good
Good
morning. Good
morning.
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 I love you both. Hi. I'm reaching out because I'm still trying to wrap my mind around the whole it's not about you concept as a mother, especially when they say, you know, your kids are a reflection of you and all of the things that they just pound into us. I went through a lot of things with my oldest daughter this year. And it basically came out that she was engaging in self-harming behavior. And just knowing that it was happening in my house, you know, and I have other little kids in my house, and just knowing that that energy was around in all of our safe space. She ended up moving in with my mom, where she's doing a lot better and is a lot more comfortable. But after she left, I went through a period of just purging, like, anything that she didn't take with her, I got rid of it. Anything that even made me think about it, I got rid of it. And now I'm looking back and I'm wondering if that was the right thing, but I just felt like I had to get that energy out of my house. But I also didn't want to feel like I was, you know, kind of like abandoning my kid. It's a weird batch of emotions, and I just wonder if you can speak on how you felt, just knowing that that was happening in your space. So for me, the difference is happening and happened. We gotta put it there. It didn't happen. It wasn't happening. It just happened. So, but afterwards, I wasn't in the same space. And looking back, maybe wondering if it was a thought maybe in her mind, maybe, I don't know. I didn't get to have those kind of conversations, or I didn't get to have that aha or opening. So it's kind of hard, but going forward, maybe with some other children, like some people say, this is what some mothers say to me if they're like, my child attempted suicide, or they'll say something like that. And it's hard for me to have a conversation with them, right? Because my child didn't attempt, she succeeded. And so, and then it's twofold. So it's kind of hard to have a conversation with someone who has their child. And so I'm gonna speak from the place of the six, well, the five others that I have now, or the six I had after Tanika. And it was one of the things, this is what it did. It put me in helicopter mode oh my God, the biggest helicopter you can get. And I didn't do my children a good service to do that. I wanted to put everybody back in the womb and protect them because I never wanted to feel this. I never wanted them to feel like I wasn't there for them. And then I had to realize I was right there. I left that morning, and which is why it's not something that I needed to continue to carry, because I'm not the giver of life and death. God is. And because I wake up every morning, and this is my prayer every morning, now that I don't be like, God, I can't believe you woke me up again. Because my prayer before I went to sleep years ago was, God, just take me in my sleep so I don't have to wake up. But now my prayer in the morning is like, okay, God, you woke me up. Okay, buddy, what are we doing today? Who you want me to talk to? What do you want me to say? Direct my day, right? So, and I had to, that's what I was saying, I had to let those children go. Ashley, your children are young. What I will say is don't continue to hold it in you, because you can only do so much. As parents, we can only do so much. Society now is kind of raising our children way more than what we used to. When I came along, we were more of a village where, you know, the lady up the street told your mama, you got in trouble with your mama, your daddy, your uncle, everybody had a hand in. Now, they call the Karens of the world. Unfortunately, I'd be glad when I could take my name back. But they're telling, so it's a little different. But what I would say, you just let your children know you love them, hug them often. I mean, squeeze them. I'm telling you, hug on your children. That's something that I am doing a whole lot better. It's like when me and our children, we get together, when I see them, be like, oh, give me a hug, because we're not, especially the older ones, we're not used to that. So, and don't take it personal, because kids don't, they just don't know what they don't know. We are the adults. So we got to get over ourselves as parents, and we are not. And my problem was, I looked at too much of the Waltons. Then they brought along the Cosby Show, and I had too much of a, oh, that looks like a great mirror. No, this is reality. Welcome to reality. Do what you have to do for your house, and don't look at the neighbor's house and the people up the street on social media. As a matter of fact, love your child based on what they're telling you. And that's, you know, we talk about it. So, and don't take it personal. It's not personal. That's all. I really want to hone in on that. Don't take it personal.
Thank you, Karen. Thank you so much for that response. Are there any other questions or comments as we are winding down? Karen's YouTube link is in the chat. what was that? Tracy said, Tracy Berry McGee said, stop looking at the lady in the shoe, walking your own steps. Yeah. Sending you love here in the chat, Karen.
You know, I wasn't gonna touch my computer because I ain't want nothing to go wrong. So you let me know if there's anything in chat I need to answer.
No. Everyone is just giving you some love there.
Thank you, guys.
Again,
Thank you.
want to open up if there are any other questions or comments. You're just getting a lot of love in the chat, hearts, that you can see. What's resonating with others is joy in the paint. Cry through it. Find the joy in the present. Your raw emotions are rare yet real, authentic and worthy of being felt. The beauty of having a serenity space. Some of our community members have their own serenity space.
Nice,
And
nice.
so they're just saying thank you. There is joy in the paint. So any last words, Karen, that you want to share? Again, no, we have just a few more minutes left if anybody has a question before we go, but if not, I want to give you last words to share, Karen, and thank you again for allowing us to peek inside your world more intimately than most people's view. And we love you.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. I love you too. And listen, let me tell you, Dr. Vicky slid in, you know, as the kids say, Dr. Vicky slid into my DM 18 years ago. And the thing, it's been the best blessing that I could have ever asked for. I started life off with, you know, just not wanting to. And then now it's like there's nothing that I don't do. And when Dr. Vicky says, can you, will you, and the answer is, what she say, agree with God and agree with God quickly. So I tell people, my mentor says, agree with God and agree with God quickly. So whatever is going on in your life right now, I hope I've shared it, shared, shed it a little bit of hope, joy, strength, and peace to let you know that after my daughter committed suicide and I was going back to, I remember sitting in a hotel, and I was sitting at a bar, and the man, he's like, what do you want to drink? I don't remember what I ordered. I was like, just give me something or whatever. And he's like, well, you look like you got the weight of the world. You know, I don't know bartenders or whatever. And I was like, yeah, I do. You know, I felt like everybody knew me because my daughter's death was on CNN and all the things. So I felt like everybody knew. So I was trying to hide over in, you know, in the corner or whatever. So he's like, well, look at it this way. Whatever's going on, at least you're not on fire. I looked at him. I was like, at least I'm not on fire. I was like, well, you know what? That is true. I'm going through what I'm going through, but at least I'm not on fire, but I felt like I was.
I'm
So,
sure.
yeah, I thought about that later on, way years and years and years ago. I remember him saying that. And I was like, God, that was so true. At least I'm not on fire. So, at least you're not on fire today. You know what I'm saying? So, think about what other people are going through right now. And then look at your situation. Because usually, when I think it's going bad for me, God sent me a woman. I had lost two. God sent me a woman who had lost five of her children. So I kind
Wow.
of got my life into a little bit of more perspective. Loss is loss and it still hurt, but I still had six other children that I could go to. And, so it was God was, kind of laying down a little. He was doing his thing, but I was mad and I wasn't paying attention. So this
I
is
love that you said, loss is loss because it is, and it's very real to each of us and very unique when we experience it. There's another mother on the call, Reba, who says she appreciates you sharing your story. Hers is very similar, and that her son was her only child and he died by suicide. And so loss is loss, and we extend love to you as well,
Yes, I
Eva,
do.
and thank you for sharing and thank you for being here. I just want to acknowledge your presence and your vulnerability as well, and grateful that you found some strength today in Karen sharing her experience and her story. Thank you all for being here, Karen. Thank you for your final words, and I'm sure some of us might be joining you on your YouTube channel to
Come on.
slap some paint on paper. We love you here at the Sunrise Project. And, on behalf of Kelly, who's not with us today, she's traveling, and Dee Stapp, our executive director, we appreciate you. We love you. We thank all of you for being here each and every week. And I want to close today by sharing the prayer that we say every week because it is so appropriate, especially now in this current climate in the world, and grateful for what I like to call this safe space, this bubble of sacred space and community with you all. And that is, God grant us the serenity to ex to God grant us the serenity to change the thing, courage to change the things that we can, to accept what we cannot change, and give us wisdom to know the difference. Thank you for every parent that is on this call, every household that is represented here, every seed that is planted that produces a harvest in our lives. Thank you for the Sunrise Project. We thank you for the leadership of this community. Bless every household. Give us peace, give us grace, give us strength and joy as we move forward into the rest of this day and the rest of this week, and bring us back together again on next Sunday at 9 a.m. And we thank you and we give you glory and praise for life. And thank you that we're not on fire in this moment, but that we have life. And because we have life, we still have hope. Go forward today, everyone. Have a powerful day. Find some joy and lean into those who have love to give back to you. We'll see you next week. Bye.
Bye. Thank you,
Thanks,
God.
Karen. Thank you so much.